Moramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. And we begin on this Mothering Sunday by thinking of all mums, brilliant mums of all ages who are loved to bits, brand new mums having their first Mother's Day, those who have been and who are mother figures where a mum is needed. For mums who have lost a child and mothers in war-torn countries forced to give up their children for their safety. Those who long to be mothers and feel excluded today, and all of us whose mums are no longer here, but whose memory we cherish. But we know also that not all memories are good, and perhaps this is a day also for trying to let go of the pain. Maybe through trust in God, or through a kind word or loving touch from an understanding friend, there will be healing, wholeness, and happiness. And now a word of apology. Last week I promised you two very powerful and personal stories from Michael Hardy, Community Partnership Manager for the Leprosy Mission, together with another helping of breakfast cereal from Richard Littledale. Well, they're both actually going to be on next Sunday's programme, because right now we've got not one but two archbishops on the island, literally just for a few days. They'll both be leaving later this afternoon. And as I've had the chance to talk with both of them, I thought we'd link the programme to their visits by featuring both conversations this morning. This is a first visit to the island for the man who is second only in seniority in the Anglican Church to the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's a gifted speaker and evangelist. He's an acclaimed author. He's published almost 40 books. And he happened to mention that this is one of his favourite hymns. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest."
Thank you.
choir of Manchester Cathedral, and I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest." That's the choice of my first guest this morning. And when I mentioned a moment ago that he's second only in seniority to the Archbishop of Canterbury, you probably guessed that it's the Archbishop of York, the Most Reverend and Right Honourable Stephen Cotterill. And as Bishop of the Province of York, he has care of the Anglican churches in the whole of the north of England, including the Isle of Man, hence the reason for his visit here. He arrived on Friday morning with a packed schedule, meeting people representing all walks of island life. But despite the pace of his visit, when I caught up with him, he was clearly loving every moment.
Good morning. I'm enjoying a lovely few days on this lovely island. My first visit here.
Well, I've been watching you online at the posts on our diocesan website, and you seem equally comfortable talking about the profound difficulties that, say, an organisation like Housing Matters has, and then having a Lent lunch in St Thomas's, where obviously you were enjoying very much being with the people. Is it the variety that stimulates you?
Well, I think, like many bishops, though perhaps people don't always realise this, but I know this is also true of Bishop Peter, that I think at heart we are pastors who enjoy being with people and enjoy being in communities. So I've enjoyed all I've done. It's been an action-packed programme. There's been a lot of mist and rain and drizzle here. I'm getting the authentic Manx experience. And several people have said to me, "Oh, you haven't seen how beautiful the island is." And I said, "Oh, I have," I said. "I've met a lot of beautiful people."
Archbishop, I'd like to take you back a few years. You trained in media studies. You had a degree in media studies. And so in 1979, one might have thought that there were all range of possibilities before you. But let's look at those years, 79 to 81. What was it that made you think ordination is where I'm going? Or was that always at the back of your mind?
Well, I wasn't brought up going to church. So there was no church in my life growing up, and I'm a bit of an all-or-nothing person, and it's a long story for which there isn't time. But when I became a Christian and became part of the church as a teenager, I think I knew deep inside that I would be ordained. I just didn't tell anybody about it, and I thought it would happen when I was old, or older. In the end, I was 25, so it moved quite quickly. But the other things that I was interested in were writing, which, as you've already mentioned, is a big part of my life. And I was interested in the writing and directing side of film, media, television, and thought I might have a career. I did have a little career in that, a very little one. But the theme that runs through it is I feel as if I am in the communications business. The church is in the communications business. And we are looking always to find ways of getting our message over.
Actually, you could not be better gifted for the world that we're in. We're in a world of sound bites and news feeds that we take it all in a couple of moments. We've been told that we've got to engage people's attention within a matter of seconds or they've moved on to something else. And Bishop Peter has said himself that COVID has catapulted us into an area of technology that people wouldn't have considered before. And if the church isn't there, it isn't anywhere, is it?
Yes. I mean, I hope it doesn't sound too corny, but Jesus said, "Let out your nets for a catch." We need to let out our internets for a catch. And we need to be present in the virtual communities in which we live our lives, as well as the actual communities. I think I do want to say to people listening, we're not abandoning the neighbourhoods and communities, but we do also need to inhabit the other worlds in which all of us live our lives today. And that's been a steep learning curve, well, for all of us, actually, but particularly for the church. But I'm thankful and amazed at the transition that we have made and the service we've been able to give, particularly through the pandemic.
When you think that one in four people were searching the word prayer during the pandemic at its height, that tells you what people need in their heart, doesn't it?
Yes, I mean, I still believe my experience over and over again is that people might not think they're very interested in the church, but they are very interested in God. They are very interested in the values by which they want to live their lives and bring up their families. There is a longing in the human heart and in the human spirit. I mean, statistics say that more people pray than believe in God. Well, that's an interesting statistic. So some people who don't believe in God still pray. And I think that's evidence of that deep longing in the human heart for something beyond ourselves. And the job of the church is to be alongside people, to serve them, and to open up opportunities for them to discover what we believe to be and live our lives by, the life-changing truth of who God is for us in Jesus Christ.
Now, yesterday you spent time at a couple of open meetings on the island inviting anybody to come and meet you and talk with you. And the theme at the heart of that was becoming a more Christ-centred church. Now, I have to confess, it's my emphasis on the word more. Is there a sense that you feel that we're drifting?
The image I have is of resetting a compass, which you need to do from time to time. So, on the one hand, this is the most obvious thing anybody could say about the church. Is that it, Archbishop? You're saying we need to be a Christ-centred church? Well, that is what the church has always been and will always be. So it's blindingly obvious, but at the same time, it's endlessly profound. What God shows us in Jesus Christ is what it means to be truly human. That in Jesus we see this is how humanity is meant to be. In Jesus we have access to God. In Jesus we can become the very best people we are meant to be. And so we spend our whole lives learning what it means to live like Christ and to be like Christ. So, yes, it's a resetting of the compass around that which is most essential and most basic to the Christian life. And I suppose I want to put the emphasis on the word life. The Christian faith is something that we are called to live out each day.
It's fitting this in with all the challenges of the world that are around us.
It is, but there's nothing new about this for the church. We can read about it in the New Testament. The church has grown in the refining fire of the questions that new cultures pose as the Christian message was taken across the whole of the world. And we keep learning new things about what it means to follow Christ and to know Christ. And so, yes, our culture and our time, what we're speaking about earlier, the whole transition from an analogue into a digital world, has been a huge challenge for the church. But hopefully we're learning to meet that challenge.
Archbishop, Sandy Toksvig, despite having a cup of coffee with the Archbishop of Canterbury, as she requested, she then took a pop, you might say, at the Lord's Spiritual and displayed a spectacular lack of research in that she quoted two places where the bishop has a seat in the House of Lords, or the equivalent thereof. Yeah. She quoted England.
Yeah.
She quoted, I think, was it?
Iran, I think.
Iran.
But I'm not sure. Yes.
She quoted another country.
Yeah.
She failed utterly to mention.
She did. Shame on her, yes.
Shame on her. That in the Isle of Man, of course, the Lord Bishop of Sodor and Man, he is so titled because he has a seat in our legislature, our equivalent of the House of Lords.
Yeah.
Do you think that she had a point to raise it, or do you think that it was an opportunity to restate why the Lord's Spiritual are there and are important?
Well, she certainly had a perfectly legitimate and fair point to make, but you won't be surprised to hear that I disagree with her. I think in the system that we have in England, and as I visited Tynwald on Friday, had a very informative visit there. So insofar as I understand the system that you have here, there is an elected chamber, and that is necessary in a democracy for there to be a clear elected chamber. But for the good governance and for the wise formation of legislation, one also needs other voices in the room to shape that legislation. That's the function the House of Lords has in British Parliament. It's there to scrutinise and amend. And I think the chamber in which the Lord Bishop of Sodor and Man sits has a similar function. So I don't think that lacks legitimacy. And I think it enriches government by bringing in particularly the moral, ethical and spiritual viewpoint, which obviously the church holds. So my experience in Britain is that the bishops in the House of Lords are valued, not by everybody, but valued. And that's certainly been my experience in the last few days here, where I've discovered that, you know, Bishop Peter is held in high regard across the island, and particularly people mention the wisdom and the perspective that he brings to Tynwald.
People do tend to compartmentalise and say that religious people shouldn't get involved in political matters. Mm. You have never shied away from controversial issues and have always been quite firm in your views. I mean, you stood out against Trident, and that was quite a few years ago, and most recently have been quoted about your views on the government's immigration policy, demonstrating to people that church and state have to not just run side by side, but have to blend.
Yeah, the Christian faith is about the whole of life. And so, therefore, it must be about those bits of life that we call politics. I think what the church must seek to avoid is ever being aligned with party politics. And that's where I think people perhaps get confused. Politics is one thing, party politics is another thing. And so the church does not align with any one political party or any one political agenda, but does, without fear or favour, speak up for a moral and ethical vision about how we inhabit the world, has particular things to say about issues of peace and justice. Why? Because we're followers of Jesus, and our faith requires us to speak about the whole of life, and particularly for the poor, the marginalised, the excluded. And often, I mean, I have great respect for, support for, and pray each day for politicians, but the trouble with, obviously, I can't speak with any authority about the life of this island, but in Britain, often it's the short-termism of party politics, lurching from one election to another, that prevents us from taking a longer view and dealing with the long-term challenges that we face. And that's where sometimes not just the church, but other bodies can speak in to that and say we need a long-term narrative of hope that will address long-term problems such as child poverty. The big one facing the whole world is the environment. The environment is the issue facing the human race, and it's too important to leave just in the hands of our politicians, however important their role is. I have loved it here on the Isle of Man. I've loved it. It's been a joy to be alongside Bishop Peter as he, you know, now looks forward to his retirement towards the end of the year. I hold him in high regard, and I want the people of the Isle of Man to know I should be working hard to make sure we get a good successor, and I look forward to visiting again.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him."
My thanks to the Most Reverend Stephen Cottrell, Archbishop of York, for sparing me a few moments in his very busy weekend. He has one more major celebration here. He'll be leading and preaching in the Mothering Sunday service in the Cathedral in Peel this morning, starting very soon at 10:30. If you live very close by, there's still time to get there, but if you have access to the internet, this morning's service, like all services from the Cathedral in Peel, are live streamed. Just go to the website cathedral.im and follow the link on the homepage. The Roman Catholic churches on the island are part of the Archdiocese of Liverpool, which is in the care and leadership of the Most Reverend Malcolm McMahon. As he's been Archbishop of Liverpool since 2014, this is by no means his first visit, but certainly it's a welcome return.
And I must say, I'm delighted to be back. I haven't been since before COVID, so surprising, you know, how time passes, and I certainly miss my regular visits to the Isle of Man.
On this weekend visit, Archbishop Malcolm is concentrating on spending time in the Catholic parishes of Peel and Ramsey. And since the Archbishop's last visit, something new has opened in Peel. It's Tide of A, House of Life, the island's first residential retreat house, and it's in Tynwald Road in Peel. You might remember it as Bala Wattleworth House. And as Archbishop Malcolm visited it yesterday, that was where I met up with him for a chat. I asked him if he was enthusiastic about a retreat house opening on the island.
I am indeed, not only because of the value of retreat for everybody, whether they're religious or just vaguely spiritual, or even if they're totally secular. The whole idea of retreat is to stand aside from everyday life, to take a pause and to assess your own life. And the Christian message really lends itself to retreats. And so what's a very special about Taita Vae is that it's an ecumenical project. And it's not only the team that's ecumenical, who conduct the retreats and do the hospitality and all of that, but also the participants are as well. So people from different Christian denominations and none come together to take time to learn to pray, to learn to be silent, to learn to reflect on God, if God enters their life. And in that way, I think they enrich their lives so that even a couple of days here can give them strength and encouragement to continue with everyday life.
It's a very frantic world that we live in. The pressure seems relentless.
Yes, and we're catching up, of course, because so many things were put aside, which during the lockdown period and the period after that, which really we only laid down reluctantly. So now we're trying to catch up in society, particularly in the fields of healthcare and education, which the churches have always involved in, and also in the life of our own parishes too. So yes, we are catching up, which in some ways has made it faster than it was before lockdown. Yeah.
You have been very concerned over a number of years with streamlining the Roman Catholic Archdiocese and fitting it for the future.
Well, it's an ongoing journey, of course, because in one respect, the future never comes. We say tomorrow never comes. It's always today. And we deal with the issues that are present to us in the church from day to day. But at the same time, we are streamlining our pastoral outreach. And that's necessary because we have too many churches. The population's changed demographically, but also in terms of numbers. So there's no point in us running a museum. We really want to be available and open for the people. So we've had some very interesting developments since our Archdiocesan Synod, but they haven't all been the way we would want them to be. And some things have happened in parallel with our plans. But I think we are making ourselves more open, more available for people. One of the things that's come clear to us, and it's really a simple message that Pope Francis is trying to get into the heads and the minds and the hearts of all Catholics, is that we should really enter into a kind of a three-stage process of development for the future. And that would be initially to encounter Christ through Christ in the life of the Spirit, God our Father, encounter each other, encounter the world around us and understand the environment. And then we have to have a period of listening, he says. Listening is hard to do because when we listen to people, we're not really listening to them. We might hear them, but we're always thinking of what our response would be, what we're going to say next, the answer to the question or our own individual input. Well, listening is to rid ourselves of all of those distractions. And so it's been quite an art for us and quite difficult for us to learn how to listen carefully. And then when you've put the encounter and the listening together, then I think we can discern the way God wants us to be the followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, in the world today. And I think that the idea of this is that as we change ourselves through this three-stage process of encounter, listening, and discernment, we then populate the structures of the society and local and national. We populate our families and our friends in a very different way. We're a different, slightly different person for that. We have more to offer. And in that way, we then change society so that we bring the good news of Jesus to the whole world.
Archbishop Malcolm, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much. And it's a pleasure for me to be on the Isle of Man. I always get a wonderful welcome from the very fine people here. So God bless you all.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done.
And now it's time to take a look at our notice board. First of all, the cool chapel on the edge of the Isle of Man Business Park. If you live close by, you're very welcome to their informal Mothering Sunday service there this morning at 11, led by Reverend Steve Ingrewell. Then this evening, also at the Cool at 6:30, the Mariners will be there for a service that I have the privilege of joining in. It will be lovely to see you too. And as usual, you're invited to stay on for supper and community hymn singing after the service. Also this evening, there's a gentle, reflective taizé service at the schoolrooms in St. James's, Dalby, starting at 6:30. It'll be led by Cheryl Cousins, who says it'll be a time of stillness, scripture and song, as we give thanks for the mothering we have known and reflect together upon the nature of love. News now from Port St Mary Methodist Church, and they've got a coffee morning on Tuesday from 10 till 11:30, and then on Thursday it's time for another Tabor on Thursday evening. It's a Beetle Drive with bacon baps, and the cost is £7 per person. There's just one more Lent lunch in Ramsey this year, and it's this Tuesday the 21st. Head to St Paul's Church Hall in Ramsey on Tuesday between 11:30 and 2 p.m. for soup with bread, a dessert and tea or coffee to follow. A delicious lunch for £7 with all proceeds to the Parkinson Disease Society. Also on Tuesday in the evening there's a charity concert and supper raising funds for the charity Sight Matters. It's in Trinity Methodist Church at Rosemount here in Douglas, and it'll be given by the Londoo Male Voice Choir. It starts at 7:30 on Tuesday evening, and admission is £10, payable at the door. The Parish of Rushen start their series of Thursday spring concerts this week. These are in St Catherine's Church in Port Erin, and this Thursday the 23rd there'll be a concert by Rushen Silver Band. The concert starts at 7:45, admission is free with a retiring collection, and there's an invitation to stay for refreshments in St Catherine's Church Hall after the concert. And finally, next Saturday the 25th in Sulby Methodist Church at the Crossroads in Sulby Village, there'll be a spring fair and indoor boot sale with refreshments that includes bacon baps, homemade cakes and hot drinks. There'll be raffles and stalls, including plants, books and bric-a-brac. It's open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Admission is just £1, which includes a hot drink. And that's all that we have time for now. But I'll be back tonight at 9 for Sundown, your invitation into our virtual late lounge for a mix of easy listening music and a bit of nostalgia to round off your day. I'd love you to join me if you can. If you've got items for the notice board, do please email me, judithleigh@manxradio.com. And so, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week. And a very good morning.
The Nation Station.